You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm a staff writer at IndyCornRose.com. And on today's episode, I'm going to preview Domantas Sabonis' 2018-19 season. Unfortunately, I have no guest today for this podcast. I will be having a special guest on Monday's episode. Don't give the person away. I previewed on the last podcast, but we will have a special guest to preview the entire 2018-19 season, actually, on Monday's show. So look for that podcast. On today's episode, like I said, I'm going to preview Domantas Sabonis and talk through why he made kind of his leap last year. Can he play at power forward next to Miles Turner? How does he fit with the bench? Why he's kind of the perfect trade asset, and his kind of, can he make the next leap from 2 to 3? And then obviously my predictions for his 2018-19 season. I'll take a quick break and we'll get to it. Welcome back in. So Domantas Sabonis was a throw-in, right? After the Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis for Paul George trade last summer, he was kind of the throw-in piece. He was the number 11th pick, I believe, in the the number 11th pick in the 2016 NBA draft. He was technically picked by the Magic, then traded as part of the trade for Serge Ibaka. That was the first time he was traded. But really, he was, let's say, played for 1 year for the Thunder, right? And then he was sort of the throw-in add-in piece because, as the Pacers probably looked at it, well, basically, the salaries match for the Paul George trade, right? They had to get the salary match. Victor Oladipo matches PG's salary at the time. And they said, well, we want a young piece. Somebody can be a rotation player, right? And Sabonis was the kind of the most recent highest pick of the Thunder team. Gets thrown in. I see why Sam Presti at the time was like, yep, throw him in, easy enough. You know, they were thinking, we're going to build, you know, I mean, I guess they got Carmelo, but we're going to build around George and Westbrook, and it's going to be great. And that's what they're going to end up doing. But little did Presti or the Thunder fans know, was Sabonis was kind of a diamond in the rough. They played him a ton at power forward, kind of tried to turn him into like a stretch kind of power forward. They played him 18% of his minutes at power forward, but they kind of stuck him in the corner. They wanted him to be sort of the stretch five center. He's not quite big enough to do that. He just didn't fit. So the Pacers got their hands on him and said, screw that. We're going to play him at center. We're going to play him as a more traditional center. We're going to let him be in the post. We're going to let him set picks. We're going to put the ball in his hands sometimes, but we're not going to like rely on him to take three-point shots. It's like a contrast. He took 2 threes a game in Oklahoma, shot 32%. He took a half a three a game. So he took 37 threes all season. He shot 35%. Percentage doesn't mean anything. It's fine. But that was sort of the idea, and he flourished. I mean, he basically came in right away, replaced Miles Turner when Turner got hurt those first, I think, 7 or 8 games, and he flourished. He had some great games. He had some 7 of 7 games, 7 of 9 games. He was really kind of, I think, one of the critical pieces in pushing the Pacers really to that kind of good start they had when they beat Cleveland and they beat San Antonio, and he had a big 22-point game against, the Spurs in the second week of the season. He was sort of one of those important pieces of that kind of push to start the season, and then he kind of just kept going. He kind of leveled off mid-year a couple times. He had a couple slumps here. I know he suffered an ankle injury in February, March range against the 76ers, and he was sick at one point in the year, and I mean, he had kind of like a flu for a little while in the season and cold stuff like that. I mean, not that it's really affecting that much, but did a little bit. But he really overall had just like a very solid year. I would almost put him up there as like one of, you know, a top 5, top 10 bench players. It's like sixth man. I mean, he was 11.6 points off the bench, 5 solid rebounds. He replaced Turner for, I believe, 20 for 17 games. He started 19 games in Turner's place. He was like the perfect bench player you could have asked last year. I mean, he was the Pacers, I think, best bench player, really. You could kind of toss up between him and Corey Joseph, but really, he was really solid. And that was sort of, that leap came with some promise or some hope out there. So, right, you know, first year, like any NBA player, this is the thing with TJ Leaf we'll talk about when we talk about TJ Leaf player preview, is that the first season, you just don't know. I mean, most of the guys in their first year have never played more than 30 games in a year unless they played international. Most of them, they played college, play 30 to 40 games max, so they hit kind of a wall at that point in the year. They haven't played this many minutes. They haven't been on the grueling traveling schedule, all this stuff. They don't have the muscle. Their opponent is only 20 years old. It's all these things. But the second year is where you want to see it. The second year is where you really will see, can this guy be an NBA player? Sabonis definitely proved he can be an NBA player, he can be a rotation player, and he could maybe be a starting center in this league someday. He definitely proved that, like, last year. And the question is, can he go from the 11 and 5 rebound kind of guy, or a 7 rebound, sorry, to like a 15 and 10 guy? I understand 15 points might be hard just because I don't think he'll have the shot quality or the amount of shots that they get there. But can he become kind of a double-double guy, let's put it that way, 10 and 10? Because that's very, I think, possible for him. And that's the leap kind of looking for. You know, he's got some other things to him I like. You know, he's a really good passer for a center. They ran a lot of plays, pick and roll, Villadipo. You know, when Oladipo double team in the playoffs, he was kind of the antidote to that double team because he could get the pass off Oladipo and then he could really run the floor. You know, if he had a weaker, smaller guy on him, he could really put the ball on the floor and go right to the rim and have shooters around him and make the right play. So that's kind of where you're sort of seeing this leap. And I expect to see it, to be honest. You know, I don't know if we'll see a translation into the per points. Is he going to put up 15, 20 points? I don't see that, but I definitely expect to see a more efficient Sabonis, an even better decision maker, a guy who just fits. I mean, he just fits the Oladipo very well. They have a chemistry that may date back to them playing together in Oklahoma or whatever it is. They just have a good chemistry. And I expect to see that chemistry also translate to Turner in some way. So that's kind of the second big thing. That's kind of the big overarching question in this whole season is, can Sabonis play next to Turner? Who plays power forward? Can Sabonis play power forward? Obviously, he succeeded last year as being a more traditional center. Does that mean Turner plays the power forward spot? Sort of what's the role of him? And I think the role of him is a flip. I think the role for him on defensive end is to be an in-space defender. So somebody who you can put on the stretch four or on the power forward and not where he's going to get beat or get him switched into pick and roll. There were a couple times against LeBron in the playoffs, Sabonis held his own, I thought. And I think he's been working on them this year, working on how to defend guys in space, getting switched onto smaller guards, not getting beat, using his size and using the ability to put your Turner, the fact you have the guy back there to back you up, to make the block shot, kind of to block the pass per se with, you know, Young and old people closing passing lanes off for other guys, you know, relying on that and not getting beat and not, you know, being okay with letting the guy burn you, but not giving him the easy jump shot. And I think I saw a little bit of that last year, and that's kind of where I expect to see it. But on the offensive end, I expect Turner to play more of a traditional power forward, to be honest, or stretch forward, I guess. I expect Turner to be in the corner, roaming around the perimeter, kind of maybe cutting and getting to that, but Sabonis to be the guy put in the pick every time. Sabonis to be the guy kind of battling out, posting up guys. You know, maybe they'll post up Turner or something. That would be really lethal if you could have kind of a double post up. But I expect Sabonis to actually be the more traditional center for the offense. But on the offensive end, like Turner, that because Turner's rim protection is kind of an elite level. It's something you just can't get. Sabonis doesn't have the arm or the lateral movement to do that. I mean, he just doesn't have the leap that Turner has and the arm length and the ability to take the blow to the body that Turner has. But, you know, there is this outside chance that maybe Sabonis does develop a three-point shot. You know, he doesn't have a terrible form. Like I said, he shot 35% on them on his 37 attempts from this season, so he's not terrible at it. He's just, it's more of a confidence in getting to taking two or three a game, getting better at it. So maybe he can do that because he worked on it this summer or whatever it is. I think there's a chance. I wouldn't bet a ton of money on him taking more than 1.5 threes a game. Maybe, like I said, maybe gets to two, but I think it's in the 1 to 1.5 range if I had to guess. Just because I think, again, he'll be more in a traditional center set, setting picks, getting pick and rolls, posting up guys, because he's good at that. That's what he's good at. Really, I mean, I think the best thing he's at is getting the ball at the free throw line with a slow center on him and let him dribble and back him down, roll him to the rim, his lefty little finger roll or his little one-hand floater. He's got all these little tricks in his bag inside, and he'll just let him do that kind of stuff. And he, you know, let him take 10 shots, and he'll shoot 52, 53% of them and whatever, and he'll convert three-quarters of his free throws, and that'll be huge. You know, get him 10, 11 points, and then it's kind of the defensive end where he has to make this kind of leap to really become the starting power forward center and kind of replace that Young in the future. One quick thing, though, I think I want to kind of talk about Sabonis before I kind of move to predictions and other kind of, you know, leap and stuff like that, is his tradability and value is huge. So there are two theories on the Pacers centers, right? There's kind of two tracks you can go down. So the first one is the obvious one. They play together. They work. You don't have to trade either one. But the other one is you have to make a choice. So last year on our podcast, Tony had on Nate Duncan, really good NBA podcaster, writer, kind of commentator. He does the Twitter NBA show. He's very good at that. He's really good, very good commentary. He basically said Sabonis fits the team today, but Turner fits the team in the future, right? Sabonis, it will help you win a game today, but if you want to become the best team in the East, you need Turner to develop, and that's where it is. Well, now it's kind of at that make or break point, right? Turner has to prove this year that he is the future number two team player, number one guy, all-star center, board, whatever it is this year. Or Sabonis could do that and overtake him. And that's kind of where you're looking at is Sabonis is at times a better fit for this team to win today. He was a better fit in the playoffs at times over Turner because he was better when they double-teamed Oladipo, getting the ball and having confidence and making him play. He was better at that than Turner. He just was. So if they can't play together, that's how we could overtake Turner. I mean, we saw end of games last year where Sabonis did play over Turner because he was a better fit for the current team to win. And Turner has to prove this year that that's not, that was kind of a fluke. That was Turner still figuring out. That Turner has it figured out and can be the closing center. Because if not, Sabonis overtakes it, then you have to trade one. But the reason I think Sabonis has the most tradability is because I think at the end of the day, they'll both improve. And then it's like Turner's potential outweighs Sabonis' potential and Sabonis' sort of value today, right? So Sabonis, like at Sabonis' peak, is he really going to be an all-star? Now, I love the player, but I'm not sure he's going to ever be an all-star. I think he's a starting center somewhere in the league for lots of years, you know, rotates between being the sixth man center and the starting center, whatever it is. He's a really valuable player, but I don't know if he ever really can be an all-star. Where Turner, I know we all buy into his hype, but Turner, right, I think could be like the number one center in the league or a top five center and then consistently all NBA, competing for that kind of spot, where I don't see that with Sabonis. So if Turner proves that, then Sabonis, and they can't play together, let's say, then Sabonis has to be traded. I mean, he is a valuable asset to some team, and he really would probably be the centerpiece of any trade for a max-level player. So, right, so the big one right now is Jimmy Butler. You know, I don't think they should do it right now because I think they should see how Sabonis Turner work because they could work. I think there's a chance they could work, and you should at least give it a shot before you sort of make a decision. But Sabonis would be the centerpiece of any Jimmy Butler trade. I know the Timberwolves probably don't need Sabonis, but in terms of a player who after this year will have a 1-year rookie deal left on his rookie deal, which is pretty cheap, but it's around $5 million hit. And then you can control him for at least 4 to 5 more years based on whatever extension he signs. So, I mean, that's kind of like you basically get, let's say, 6 more years of Sabonis control for Jimmy Butler's going to leave in a year. Or I'm trying to think of another asset top of my head right now who'd be available. I mean, Kawhi was kind of one earlier. He could be tradable at the trade deadline. No Boston guy's going to be available. We'll see. It depends on the superstar. But, right, he's kind of the centerpiece. I mean, what if Davis is available, let's say? You know, Turner or Sabonis is the centerpiece of that trade, but I think Sabonis is more likely to be the centerpiece of that trade because of, he doesn't have a role here. He kind of is, he can be a starter, he can be a really good player, but he doesn't quite have the role, and he's just good enough where you can talk yourself into him, combine him with a couple picks and a couple rotation players, and that sort of makes him kind of a valuable piece to build around, especially if he has a really solid year at Oladipo and kind of proves that he can, be the really good center for a really good young point guard. It would make sense. That's where it kind of makes sense. And that's why I think he'll ultimately, if he does get traded, will be the centerpiece of a trade. But I'm holding out hope that him and Turner can work together because I love to see that. And that's kind of where I think the leap comes. I think that's where the second to third year leap that I'm really kind of expecting. I think for me, it's 13 points, 9 rebounds. That's the number I'm shooting for in my head of this guy making a leap. Is 13 points and 9 rebounds taking, he played 74 games last year. That was perfect. Needs to play that again. Suffered one minor injury, but mainly was a durable, always out there kind of guy. I think it's 13-9, and I think actually it's 3 assists. And I think it's the ability that he can basically kind of play off Turner at times. They can be on the court and not be a negative. I know they really weren't last year. They were with Stevenson, but Stevenson's a negative for everybody, so it dragged everybody down with them. That's where I see him making his leap is he becomes kind of a more efficient scorer. Maybe he doesn't take, he took 9 shots, maybe he takes only 8 shots, but he's able to get 13 points off those. Things like that. It's becoming a little bit more efficient, a better rebounder, definitely just banging bodies down there, getting rebounds, kind of taking away that part of the game, maybe from Turner having to worry about as much. And I mean, there is a chance if you put Sabonis Turner that you can have 2 awesome rebounders and that could kind of destroy team on the offensive glass. But I think that's where Sabonis makes his leap. And I don't know if that's enough to justify keeping him around if he doesn't fit with Turner. I really hope he does, but it's the kind of thing where I just can't believe it'll work until I see it, because it's just, last year, there wasn't enough there to say, hey, they can work together. There was enough to kind of hope they can work together, but I have to see it to believe it, for me to really believe that they will work together as kind of a duo, and I would love to be proved wrong. I would love to be proved wrong by that, and if that happens, guaranteed going forward. He's the Thad Young replacement. Thad Young is gone a year. They build around the core of Oladipo, Sabonis, Turner, Aaron Holiday. They maybe get some guy for agency. Especially because Sabonis, if he can overtake Thad Young, would be huge for this team in cap space, because they can kind of get rid of Thad and not have to worry about re-signing him. They can use $13 million in space next summer to go after a max player, go after another guy. I mean, if they kind of have their starter set per se, so let's say, I know, you know, they have three of their five starters set for like the next 3 to 5 years. That's huge for the team. It allows them to go and get kind of another piece they can commit to for 3 to 5 years. Another max level player at point guard or at small forward, whatever they feel like and get the most out of or the best player for, they can do that. And that leaves, like, you know, guys like, I mean, Jimmy Butler, that's why Jimmy Butler is the kind of the fit, right? If they get Jimmy Butler and they have Sabonis already, that's sort of like a perfect fit. And if they can make a run too, that's part of this, right? Sabonis fits with Turner and they make a real run in the playoffs. And those Oladipo, Turner's most like they're like a growing young core and they go to the Eastern Conference Finals or somehow they make the NBA Finals, they might be able to convince a guy like Jimmy Butler to actually come here in free agency, because it's like, we're this close to winning. You know, we're on the cusp. We're going to compete with the Warriors. Now, I think that's a little too much hyperbole or too much optimism. I think it's probably somewhere in the middle where they work at times and don't work at times, and it's a process, and some of it will be Oladipo overcoming all of that and probably helping carry this team. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, if this team can make a run at the East Finals, that would be huge for their free agency prospects, kind of the way Denver was able to sell Millsap and we're kind of a young team, we're going to be the future kind of thing. You know, Denver would make the playoffs this year. Millsap didn't get hurt, I think, so that's a whole other thing. So to say they aren't, Denver's a promising young team is kind of a joke. I know people are down on them now this year. But that's where you kind of look at is, can they become the next promising young team? You know, the Wolves were that kind of team, right? When they traded for Butler, then there's all this Wiggins and Towns issues. I would say right now, like, kind of the prevailing young, I mean, really the Celtics are kind of the young team, right? They've got Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, who are the young guys. But like the next young team is probably a team that involves Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton, or maybe the Mavs with Doncic somehow. But can the Pacers become that? That's kind of the question. And that's kind of relies on Sabonis, you know. Is he the third piece? Is he the, you know, I think, right, when you build a chair, you need four legs. Is he the third leg? And then they find that fourth leg in free agency. That's sort of the goal here. I think that's all I got for today's podcast. If any more questions on Sabonis, feel free to tweet at me at FreemanAdam5 or the podcast at Locked On Pacers. Let me know what you thought of this solo podcast. We're getting a couple more, probably more of these during the season. We're almost to 5 podcasts a week. I think we did 4 last week. I think we're going to try to get to 5 this week, but who knows? Season is, so let's see, I'm recording this podcast on at 10:19 on 9/27, so 28th. So the first game is the 17th, so that gives us 20 days of the season. That's pretty exciting. 20 days in the NBA season. That gets me excited. Preseason games obviously start like, I think, the 6th, the 4th. I'm trying to remember what day they start. So there will be plenty of that. But as always, you can follow this podcast at Locked On Pacers. You can leave us reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. If you ever listen to this podcast, do that. It'd be great. As always, read my columns on IndyCornrows.com. My first one is going to, for the season, the 2018 first one's coming out October 1st. Read that one. Send me a mailbag question to the link I put in that. Love to answer any questions from anybody from the Locked On Pacers. If you read my column and answer a question because you whatever saw the column, feel free to say in the answer whatever that, oh, I heard it from Locked On Pacers, just so I can kind of get an odyssey if people are actually responding and whatnot. But whatever, just send me some questions if you want to. You can tweet at me questions or fill out the little Google link I have. That's today's Locked On Pacers podcast. Check us out again on Monday with a special guest, me talking to somebody special who you guys I know will love. That's it. Have a great rest of your day.